Hey friend, are you swamped with scheduling, bogged down by bookings, or overwhelmed with managing your social media? This message is for you. I would love to introduce you to my secret weapon, StyleSmart VA. This is a company of virtual assistants literally designed by hairstylists for hairstylists. I found them through an interview right here on the podcast, and then shortly after found myself booking a discovery call because I was drowning in administrative tasks and needed help. It's been a few months now, and I can't tell you how much my VA has changed my life. No joke, friends. I am such a believer in StyleSmart VA that I decided to bring them in as an episode sponsor here on the show. Listen, as creatives, our focus should be on the clients and our craft. And now that I have my virtual assistant, I can devote more of my time to exactly that. The beauty of hiring a VA through StyleSmart is that they come to you already trained and able to seamlessly step into your business. From managing appointments and client communications to handling your social media presence, StyleSmart virtual assistants free you up to concentrate on your clients. And that's a change your clients will notice and appreciate. I mean, can we say elevating your perceived value? So when you're ready to level up in your business and take some weight off your shoulders, head on over to stylesmartva.com and book a free discovery call today. You'll also find the link in the show notes of this podcast episode. StyleSmart VA, empowering beauty professionals to focus on what they do best. Well, hey there, friend, and welcome back for another episode here on the Your Hair Mentor podcast, where I am your host and hopefully at this point, your hair mentor, Crystal Green. Now, I'm wondering, have you ever had your eyes on someone, whether it was in a Cosmo magazine or, you know, the movies or nowadays social media that you're kind of watching over the years? I mean, I guess we can call them a celebrity at this point because my guest today is a bit of a celebrity in the hair industry. But have you ever had your eyes on someone for a long period of time and then had the opportunity to meet them in person and been like terribly disappointed? I know I have with celebrities, and I will say this was not the case with my guest here today, Ashley Norman. Ashley is someone that I have had my eyes on since I started on social media. And I want to say, oh my gosh, we're probably looking at like a decade at this point. And the first time I saw her, I thought, you know, this gal's got it going on. And I've seen her over the years have multiple iterations of her business and, you know, working with other companies and then traveling the world and creating hair products and doing all these things. And then I had the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with her here on the podcast and to meet her in person. And I have to say, very pleasantly surprised that like what you see is what you get. And so it's great. And I'm so excited to share this conversation with you because of that, because I think it's really easy to put people on a pedestal and expect things and then be let down when you meet them in person. And Ashley is not that. And I think it's because she is one of the most hardworking individuals that I think I've ever met. And you can tell when you talk to her that she is incredibly determined and will succeed. So anyway, I am just excited to share this conversation with you so that you can find a little motivation and inspiration in your week and hopefully get to know Ashley like I did. So why don't we just go ahead and jump into this conversation today with Ashley Norman. Ashley, I'm so, so excited to have you here on the Your Hair Mentor podcast. I think it took us like 6 months to coordinate this, so I'm so pumped that it finally happened. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Sorry for taking a long time to get it booked.
No, you know what? Like the little bit that I can keep up on you with social media, I'm like, every time I blink, you're in a different country. And so I am not surprised it took us this long, friend, but I'm so happy you're here.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I'm sure most people who are going to listen to this know who Ashley Norman is, but I kind of want to know like what got you to be where you're at and like what's your story? How did you end up where you are? And then I know I want to talk to you about some like mom life stuff because like I'm sure you've got something to say about being an entrepreneur. But why don't you start us out with just giving us like a little bit of a background of like where you came from and maybe how you landed to be where you are now?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a Southern California girl, born and raised, third generation. I wanted to be an actress in my early teens, and I did a lot of theater in junior high and high school. And then I actually fell in love with hairstyling backstage in theater. So I was doing about 9 cast members' hair a night. But I was also designing costumes. So I was doing both, clothing design and construction, as well as hair. And so by the time I was 17, I had joined the ROP cosmetology program, which was basically a government program where you can go to high school half a day and then do a vocational school the second half of the day. So that's what I did. I was doing beauty school, cosmetology school in my senior year of high school, part-time while working in the salon on Saturdays. And that's how it all started. So that was back is starting in 2003. So over 20 years ago now.
The man. I am not surprised to hear that you have a background in theater because I know I've joked with you online that you're like this rock star persona, when you're doing your thing. I actually didn't know who I was going to get today. I didn't know if I was going to get rock star Ashley or like chilling at home Ashley.
Yeah, you got chilling at home. I got the sweatshirt on. I got the low bun. I did put my makeup on, which is not normal for me at home. So at least you got the makeup on this time.
And you know what? If you hadn't have, that's fine too. But okay, so background in theater got you interested. Did you start out your career working in a salon for someone else, or did you jump straight into being independent? What does that look like?
Yeah, I started working in the salon. I graduated with my actual license in 2005, but I had already been assisting in the salon that I ended up working at in the very beginning because I did an externship program. And basically what that means is once you have a certain number of hours inside of beauty school, you could start taking assisting in the salon and taking those hours and applying it towards your license. So as soon as I could do that, I started doing that. And that gave me my first salon job. And so I started working behind a chair. I was just newly 19 years old. And I didn't have really a lot of training besides beauty school. And I really wasn't ready to be on the floor. But the salon that I was working at did not have a formal apprenticeship program. So I feel like I was just kind of thrown into the fire a bit. And that really was tough because I struggled for a very long time, many, many years in my early career was very hard because I didn't have that, mentorship and apprenticeship that I really should have. I did have the opportunity to take at least one advanced education class. My mom sent me to the 6 week at Vidal Sassoon. So Vidal Sassoon had a 6 week program that went over all of their haircut education. And I remember that being about $5,000 back in 2005, right after I graduated. And that was a lot of money back then. And so I was really lucky that my mom was able to afford to at least send me to that. And that gave me some foundational knowledge with haircutting, but I still really wasn't ready to be on the floor. Then around 2007, my hairstylist that I had been going to since I was 13, she ended up opening her own salon and took me over. And that was really a blessing because they opened with a account with Bumble and Bumble. And Bumble and Bumble had this program, it was called the Network Educator Program. And you could choose one stylist in the salon to become this liaison. And you would go and you would travel to New York once or twice a year, take classes at their academy, and then you would come and do teach backs in your own salon. So really, again, I wasn't ready to he really even be on the floor, to be honest with you, let alone become an educator. But that was my opportunity to get education for myself. And every time I learned anything, I came back and taught it to my staff. At the same time, the salon was brand new. So they didn't have an education program either. And I didn't want the new stylist on the floor to struggle as much as I did. And even though I only had a few years under my belt, I at least had something. And so I offered to start the assistant program. And, where she would say no, I was doing it for free. So of course, go right ahead. So I at least was able to give them the foundational knowledge I had from Sassoon's. Then I started teaching them what I was learning from Bumble and Bumble. Then I was starting to take other classes at like Tony and Guy and DePetro Todd in San Francisco. And then I was taking classes with the Wella Studios in LA. And then I started flying to their Paris and London locations. And so there was about an 8 year period from 2007 to 2014 that I easily spent $100,000 on continuing education between, you know, the cost of the class itself, flights, hotels, food, obviously, you know, delayed income, because when you're not behind the chair, you're not making money. This whole time I was basically, you know, an independent contractor. I've never been an employee. So I was always working for myself. The first few years was a commission basis and then ended up renting a chair. So I've always pretty much worked for myself. I've always paid for my own education. And I've always made a point to teach back immediately after taking the class. And so that gave me a really solid foundation that would later lead into what I'm doing now.
Dang, girl. I, too, was a network educator for Bumble and Bumble. And for me, that was the first time that I really got to see like a well-oiled machine when it came to education. I'd been to shows, but like back then they were so different than they are now. They were more edutaining, right? And I had taken classes, like local, you know, brand specific classes, but nothing was really well organized and facilitated. And then I remember going to the House of Bumble and being like, whoa. That's pretty cool. This is what it could be like. But they were like this establishment. What was it, like a 7-story building? And it was like this very professional thing. And it took me a while to realize that we could actually implement the same kind of structure of education in salons. So I love that you had the same experience with the network educator program, because that was exactly what happened to me. I was like asked to be this network educator. And I was like, whoa, I don't know how to educate, but I can go listen and I can learn. And wonderful. So I want to ask you, back in high school, when you took classes in beauty school and units to get you out of high school, did you know you wanted to be a hairstylist forever? Or was it just like something fun to do in the meantime?
Oh, no. I mean, I knew hairdressing was my passion. And, you know, my family, they're all professionals, you know, doctors, lawyers, engineers. And when I said I wanted to be a hairstylist, they're like, what? You're going to waste your brains. Like, you're crazy. And to prove to them, you know, that I wasn't stupid and I wasn't doing it because it was the only thing I could, you know, end up doing. I also did my bachelor's degree. So not very many people know, but I actually have a fashion merchandising and business marketing Bachelor of Science from Cal State Northridge. So at the same time I was, you know, graduating high school and then, you know, continuing my education in the professional industry at the same time working behind the chair, at night I was going to college. So it took me, you know, about, you know, 8 years in that same time frame to finish my degree, because it was, you know, 2 classes, 4 classes at a time, whatever I could squeeze in. So that was a pretty intense period of my life. Obviously, it was my early 20s. I was young. I didn't have kids. I was a newlywed. I married my high school sweetheart 2 years out of high school. We were like 20 and 22 years old when we got married. And, you know, he was going for his master's degree. He was starting his job as an engineer at Southern California Edison, which, by the way, you know, living in Southern California, you're going to be a commuter, whether you want to be or not. You know, so we lived north of Los Angeles in a commuter town, and it was very normal to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning to make sure you could get on your carpool van by 6 a.m. to get through LA traffic. And then it was very normal to drive 60 miles each way to work. And then, you know, at the same time, my husband was doing his master's degree at night at Cal State Northridge as well. So, I mean, we were like up at 5 working, you know, 50 hours a week. We were going to school at night. We were just in hustle mode. We did Dave Ramsey when we were newlyweds, which is Financial Peace University. So we lived, we cut up our credit cards. We lived on an envelope system on a very, very tight budget. At the time we got married, it was 2006, which is the last peak in the financial market. We couldn't afford to buy a home, you know, because there was a lot of, you know, crazy lending going on at the time that was artificially hiking up home prices. And so luckily we waited, we didn't buy a home right away, and we saved money, and we watched the crash in 2008. And, you know, that was tough. That was a tough time in LA. I lost half my clientele right when I went on from commission to rent and had to rebuild the clientele over again. And, you know, but thank God that we did that, because looking back, you know, we spent that decade well, and we built a very strong financial foundation, which gave me the opportunity to take on some risk later when social media changed everything within the industry.
Yeah, yeah. And so what eventually brought you to Vegas? Why did you leave Southern California?
So a lot of things. 2015 was my first independent education tour. I was newly pregnant with my first child. And, you know, this was back when social media was still kind of brand new. Same thing with independent education. And it was a real pivotal point in my career. Up until that point, you know, I had just been working behind the chair, educating within my salon group. And now I had this opportunity to go out on my own and create my own independent education brand, which I didn't really know that's what I was doing. But, you know, so started traveling and teaching in 2015. You know, with my first kid, my mother-in-law became my traveling nanny. We traveled with my first kid till he was 18 months. We took him everywhere with us. Every other weekend, we were on the road until he was done breastfeeding. Then I got pregnant with my daughter in 2018, did it all over with her. 2019, I thought, okay, I'm done with the hard part. Like, I had a pre-sold tour for 2020 that was looking really good. I already had $100,000 in OPM, which stands for other people's money. My husband has an account called OPM. He always tells me what my OPM is, which thank God he managed my money that way, because, you know, here I am having travel through two pregnancies, two breastfeeding infants. You know, sometimes I was in an Airbnb with my son, who was a toddler, and my daughter, who was an infant, you know, sleeping in the same bed with my mother-in-law. My assistant's the only one who got their own bed. You know, having gone through that for several years, and then being like 2019, I had just got my body back. I was looking good, feeling good, had a pre-sold tour, and then, you know, what happened with the pandemic. And so I actually had to return, you know, that $100,000, which thank God I at least had it set aside, because I know there was other influencers at the time that spent their OPM and didn't have the money to get back. And I don't know how that didn't burn their brand. But anyway, so, you know, had to refund my tour and take a back seat and figure something else out. Thank God I had already pre-filmed some online education. I had already just worked on some new tools that I was coming out with and really focused on the online piece of it for a little bit. And then as soon as I could start traveling to the cities that were open, I started doing that. Vegas being one of them. I taught a class in July of 2020 here in Vegas. And, you know, we did all the protocols, we wore the masks, blah, 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 blah. But at least I was able to go out and teach and make money, because the crazy thing was, you know, back in Los Angeles, they were locked down for 9 months. There was only one other county in America that was closed down more than Los Angeles, and that was San Francisco County. So it was really, really tough. Because at that point, I had a boy and a girl, and we had a two-bedroom townhome in Southern California, and we were looking to upgrade our house anyway, because we're like, eventually these kids are going to need their own room. And then to go into lockdown, where my husband was trying to work from home, but we didn't have a dedicated office. So I'm trying to manage two toddlers. I'm trying to film online education in my garage. I'm trying to, like, you know, fill orders and take them to the post office for my, you know, tools for 9 months off and on. I mean, we opened, you know, twice before. There was three separate lockdowns, and they would let us go back. Back then I had a 130 square foot studio to take one client at a time, both wearing masks, and they would be open for a week and then they'd shut us down again, which was really frustrating, because we would go through our entire wait list, call everybody, get everyone rescheduled, and then have to cancel them all over again. And so after we had the second lockdown, you know, my husband, who has been very supportive of me since day one, you know, he had been seeing what I've been doing. He'd been watching my income surpass him and then double his income. And he's like, whoa, 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 maybe one day I'm going to work for you. And that was kind of a pie in the sky dream, because, you know, he had the 9-to-5, the corporate job. He had the insurance, the security. And he thought, oh, well, maybe this is what you're doing is, you know, it's based on social media fame, and who knows how long it's going to last, and you're relevant now, but what about, you know, next year? And so it, you know, he was scared to do that. And then when COVID hit, obviously I took a huge financial hit, but I was still able to make more than he was making with his corporate job. And, you know, he had his master's degree. He had two engineering licenses. He was running a team of engineers and they were building, you know, multi-million dollar power lines. So, I mean, his job was very, very high stress and a lot of responsibility. And with the pandemic, it got to be too much. Like both of us were just running around with our heads cut off trying to make ends meet. And he's like, you know what? Like, I believe in what you're doing. I see the impact that you're having on people's lives. I read the comments, I read the feedback, and I'm seeing that, you know what? In the worst year of your career, you're still able to pull ahead of me. And so therefore, you know, what you're doing is pandemic proof, I think now is the time. And so he ended up quitting his job at Southern California Edison. And then we quickly realized, well, if we don't need to be in California for our jobs, because I'm out there traveling anyway, and that's the majority of my income, not my behind the chair anymore at that point, why not look outside the box? And we ended up choosing Vegas because, well, for one, it's only a 4-hour drive, so my family can still come over the border pretty easily. There's no state income tax, which is crazy because state income tax, honestly, is now our mortgage payment. So the amount that we were paying monthly to live in California is now what we pay to purchase our home, which is like basically you go across the board and you get a free house, for one.
Yeah.
For two, the destination city. So obviously it has a lot of attractions when it comes to shopping, dining, and entertainment. And my long-term goal is to have a physical brick and mortar academy. And so I'm thinking, okay, if I want to have, you know, my version of the House of Bumble and cities like LA and New York are suffering post-COVID, what's the future? And for me, that was Vegas. It also has an international airport 15 minutes from my house, so I can get anywhere really easily. So just checked a lot of boxes and, you know, we've been really happy here. So we moved, pretty much we got our keys to our house New Year's Day of 2021. So now we've been here for 3 years.
Wow. I'm originally from Northern California, from Chico, and there was a point when we lived in Texas. And I remember when I moved from California to Texas, in my heart, I was always going to go back to California. Like, I was definitely like a Cali girl at heart. But after being gone for a couple of years, I kind of made this transition where I realized, I don't know if you feel this way, but especially Bay Area, I feel like there's just so many people that are so high strung, stressed out, and unhappy that the overall vibe is like not very friendly. And like beautiful there. Don't get me wrong. Northern and Southern California and everything in between is absolutely gorgeous. But the caliber of kindness that I see in Texas and now in Nevada, I'm like, I don't ever want to go back to California. Do you feel the same way at all?
Yeah, it's think about it. Like if you're living that lifestyle where, you know, you're up at 5 every day and you're working at least a 12-hour day, if you include your commute, you know, that's going to put anyone in a very high stress position. You know, you're dealing with traffic. I mean, Los Angeles and New York are probably the two worst traffic cities in the United States. And so that being said, I kind of am grateful that I cut my teeth in LA because, for example, I just was back there working on a shoot for a fashion magazine. This fashion magazine was actually part of my internship. So at Cal State Northridge, you have to do an internship as part of your fashion degree program. And so I ended up doing one semester. I paid part-time tuition, which was $2,000, which is, I mean, still a lot of money to this day. But, you know, 10 years ago, that was even more money. So I paid part-time tuition to drive on my day off into Beverly Hills on a Monday to go work for this fashion magazine for free. I remember one time it took me 3 hours to go 30 miles. And then as soon as I got there, they're like, okay, well, what we need you to do today is we need you to take an issue to every single store on Rodeo Drive. And it was like super hot. And I had a migraine from being in the car for 3 hours. And I went to Rodeo Drive and went in there and smiled and passed out the new issue of the magazine. And then I went back into the office, which by the way, they didn't have parking for. And so we had to park on the streets 3 blocks away from the office. but we had to move our car every 3 hours so that we didn't get in trouble. I mean, it was like crazy, right? And so anyway, I went back to LA recently to go shoot for this magazine, which is cool that I have that connection now that I'm actually getting published in the magazine, not just, you know, working like this. But even that, then, like, you know, working with the wardrobe, you know, person, and they're very strict. They're like, no, this needs to go with the fashion story. And if you can't change the hair too much from this look to that look, because it all needs to be cohesive. And oh, that eyeliner, that's too much. Fix that. Take that off. It's very, very tough. And I've done Fashion Week backstage in New York as well. And I had like food thrown at me because I was like just the new girl. And yeah, like, I mean, mean girl behavior. It's tough. Like the fashion industry is tough. But that made me tough, you know, and it also made me used to working long, hard hours. So I know how to hustle. That being said, when I come here to home to Vegas, like it almost brings me down too much because I'm like, man, I feel like I'm on vacation and everybody here is like on island time. Like if they can't get somewhere in 20 minutes, like even in 20 minutes is too far away for them. They're like, oh no, that's across town. That's like 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, like in LA, like you can't even go down the street in 20 minutes. Like what? So for me, it's hilarious because I'm like, wow, you guys have had it a little easy around here. But at the same time, you know, raising my kids here is fantastic. I mean, my kids have a very, very good lifestyle. And so I'm very happy that I can have my little safe bubble that isn't crazy and isn't high stress. And then when I need to, I can, you know, hop over to LA or New York or whatever it is that I need to go and do. And then I can come back to my safe space.
I mean, that's what your home should be, right? Is like your safe haven.
Yeah.
And so you have three kids now, right?
Yes.
How old is your youngest?
He's going to turn 2 in June. So just in a couple months. He's almost 2, but he looks like he's 3. He wears 3T. He's a giant.
That's how my son is too. Still, he just turned 7 and everyone thinks he's like 9 years old.
Oh, wow.
Big boy. And my daughter is 2, almost 3 years older than him, and they look like twins now.
Aww. It's so fun.
So how do you take them traveling still, or do they stay home now when you travel?
So once my last one was done breastfeeding, they're staying home. And because my husband is, you know, since we moved, primarily a stay-at-home dad, obviously, he's my business partner and runs my business. And then he does some contracting on the side for some, I don't even know what he does, honestly. His brain is crazy, but he does some sort of computer programming for some structural design company just for like for fun on the side to keep himself mentally stimulated. But so obviously him being home. And then when we moved, we also made my mother-in-law move literally like across the street from us. So she lives in a retirement community on the other side of the street. And so between those two, they're able to be with the kids when I'm gone. It's hard. And sometimes, like, if I'm going to be on the road, like, too much, too often, I'll try to make an excuse to do something fun. Like, if I'm going to be in LA, I'll be like, hey, like, let's, like, Chris, why don't you hop on a plane with the older two and leave the baby behind? And, like, we'll go to, like, Disney or something, you know? So sometimes we do that type of thing, but for the most part, they stay home now, which is honestly a big relief because it's hard traveling with kids. It's really, really hard.
Yeah. And like, I've only traveled for fun with kids. I've never traveled for work with kids. I cannot imagine trying to be in the right headspace to be like nursing your baby and then having to like go over content in your head that you're going to be teaching in the class the next day. That's insane, girl.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Like, I just remember like, you know, normally we're in the salon at least 12 hours. Like I get there 8 o'clock, I model preps, class starts at 9:30. Then we have, you know, a brunch and then I start the live, I do theory in the morning. Then we serve brunch. Then we do a live model demonstration. Then they break for lunch around like 1 or 2 o'clock. Then they come back at 3 and we start hands-on. And sometimes, you know, if we have a large group, we don't finish and clean up until and set up for the next day's class because normally I teach 2 to 3 days in a row. We're not out of that salon until 8 o'clock. So you're in the salon for 12 hours. And then I'd have to like meet up with my mother-in-law, take them out to dinner. And then my mother-in-law has been like stuck in the hotel room all day with the baby. So she's now it's her turn to like have a shower and talk to another adult. And so then I'm like standing there, like holding the baby, like trying to stand and eat at the same time and entertain a baby because they're whatever fussing or And she's like, you know, shooting the shit with my assistants, relaxing, having a good old time. And I'm just like, oh no, it's cool. I didn't just work for 12 hours and talk to like 30 people for, you know, the whole time. It's, you know, it's, I got this. Go ahead, relax, you know? So it's just, it's like, it's nonstop, man. You're working. And then, you know, my son, especially, he was terrible. That kid woke up every 3 hours to breastfeed till he was 18 months old. And so you're not even sleeping through the night. You're up at like 2 a.m. breastfeeding, and then you're up again at, you know, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. And you're just like, then you still got to get up at 6 a.m, be full hair and makeup, show up at 8 o'clock. It's intense, man. Like, honestly, now that I'm like, I'm going to be turning 38 this year. Me and my husband are like, I think we're done. Like as much as it's sad to be like, that's our last baby. Like, I don't think I can do it again. I really don't. Like, I don't even know how I made it through the last thing.
Yeah. You know, it's such a weird thing. Like, when you're in it, it feels like forever and it's so stressful. Mm-hmm. Then, like, now I mentioned I have a now 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, and I'm almost feeling like I'm grasping at them now, like, wait, you're getting too big too fast. Like, you know, they're not to the point yet where they're like, too cool to hug me or kiss me, but I know it's coming. And I'm like mourning that phase now. It's such a weird, you know, I've always heard people say like, oh, you know, cherish these moments. And I'm like, screw you. This blows.
Yeah, exactly.
But on like the other side of it, like, I hang out with some mom friends all the time that still have babies and diapers and naps. They're like nap trapped all the time. And I'm like,
yeah,
I feel you. And I'm sorry that it's stressful, but like, it's going to be gone so fast before you know it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have 2 kids and I'll be 41 this year. And like, there was like a little piece of me that was like, do I want more? But I know for me, I was like, no, I'm done. Like, I've already like left that piece of my life behind, and to try to go back to it with another baby. Oh, I just don't think I have the capacity at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, the struggle is real. Even now, we're like, what are we going to do after this? Oh, we got to go pick up the kids. It's Friday fun day. That my kids love to do something special on Fridays, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what are we going to go do? And like, Tommy's at this phase where like, we go to restaurants and he screams at the top of his lungs. Like, I don't know. And he thinks it's funny. Like, he's not even fussing. He's just like, and like, everyone at the restaurant's like looking at us, and we're just like, and then the old guy behind this last party was like, well, back in my day, we didn't have money to go out. And so that was no problem. We kept those kids at home. And I'm just like, oh, like, this phase has got to be over soon. And then I'm like, oh, but he's like, you know, when he turns 3, and then he's going to start, you know, preschool, and when he's potty trained, and then I'm going to miss him. And so I'm like, okay, this is my last baby. Like, get through another year. You got this.
Like, yeah, totally. So do you try to plan like chunks of time at home that, you know, like, have you figured out at this point, like, I feel good and I feel rested with this amount of time in between traveling? Or are you still trying to figure that out?
Yeah, I try to do 1 weekend on, 1 weekend off. That really is the best rhythm for me. It doesn't always happen. And when I have to go back to back to back, and I'm only home for a few days in between, like barely enough time to like unpack, repack, like get a nap in and then get back on the road, that's not the best. I try not to do that. And then obviously, like right now, I don't own a salon. I'm not behind a chair. After I left California, it was kind of a weird transition because, you know, we were still all in masks, and, you know, it was 2021, and the trade shows were just starting to reopen. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to start doing trade shows, and I'm going to have a booth, and then I'm going to get back on the road, because everybody was excited to be like in person. And so I was traveling a lot. And then I was like, you know what? Like, I really don't want to start a clientele like wearing a mask, because it's just too hard to have a consultation. And then soon after, I ended up getting pregnant with my 3rd kid. And I was like, well, I don't really want to start a new clientele pregnant with masks. Like, maybe I'll just wait till I have this kid. Then my son was 6 months when I ended up signing my 2 biggest contracts ever with K18 and Schwarzkopf. And so next thing, Schwarzkopf is like, okay, well, now we need you in Germany, and now we need, you know. And so then I'm starting to do international travel, which, by the way, I was still breastfeeding at the time. I didn't end up taking him on my journey trips because those 14-hour flights are just too much. But I was like pumping like every 3 hours on a 14-hour flight, and all the whole time I was there. I mean, it was just like, but I needed to show up, you know, and I did. So all of that has been really great. And so now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I still have this dream of having this salon academy, but at the same time, like something will have to give, because right now, if I'm on the road for myself and I'm on the road for the brands, if I'm filming online education in between, then what I really can't also be behind a chair and never see my kids. So at least that way I know, you know, I can do, you know, pick up and drop off with them. And you know how it is when the kids are in school, like pick up and drop off. I mean, it's a short day, you know, by the time you drop them off, you do one or two errands and then you got to go pick them back up. And it's like, yeah, I could pay someone to do pick up and drop off with my kids. But when they're in school full time, like that little bit of time in the morning and that little bit of time in the evening, that's the only time you really get to see them. And if I'm gone every other weekend and I'm not getting the Saturday Sundays with them, like that's precious time, you know? So right now I can't be behind a chair on those days because I need to be able to be with my kids. So it's kind of an interesting transition right now where, you know, when I'm home, I'm like very much, you know, at home. Like I'm not going out and going to work at a salon. And then when I'm on the road, I'm on the road. So my life is very much split into two spaces. It's like mommy land and then business land. Yeah. And I'm two completely different people. And when I'm home, I go right into mommy land and I don't even know who I am in the professional space anymore. But my team members like reminded me last week, like that's a good thing because that's what keeps me grounded, you know?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic that I think a lot of men don't really experience within our industry.
Yeah. It's like on so many levels. And I totally agree with you with the pick up and drop off thing. You know, it's funny when my kids got old enough that they were both going to be in school, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have so much time. This is crazy. Well, that 6 hours goes by in the blink of an eye. And,
yep.
And like for me, the pickup and drop off is like non-negotiable. That's like we walk to school. And so we've got 10-minute walk either way. And I'm like, that's 10 minutes where we're just talking and walking and enjoying each other's company. And I don't want to give that up for anything. Like literally, you couldn't pay enough to skip that. You know? Yeah. Hey, I'm curious because I think it was a while ago I saw a video. Do you have a studio where you record at your house? Like is like a room in your house converted?
Yeah, so we have a 3-car garage and it's kind of cool because the 2-car garage is like over here and then the 3-car garage is kind of separate. So we ended up enclosing it and insulating it and putting two drawers on either side. And when I moved, I took all the stuff that I had built out in my studio. I took it home with me. So I had two, you know, stations and a color bar and a couch. And like, so we took all of that and we put it in there and we put a shampoo bowl and plumbed it through and everything, like, which is perfect because it's on the back wall of the laundry room. And so we don't take clients, obviously, because, you know, I'm a public figure. I have kids. I don't want people knowing where I live. But, you know, obviously if I need to do like a photo shoot or like, let's say like K18's like, hey, like we need you to film this new launch and here's the brief. Like I can just, it's nice because obviously it's not, you know, where a bunch of people are working and I don't have to worry about, you know, stylists like making noise. It's a quiet set that we can pretty much create and make anything into and film as like, for example, today, we just went to the camera store to buy a green screen. I'm trying some new green screen technology. I want to do, like, I don't know if you've seen some of my posts lately where I was like showing some of the PowerPoints I use in my in-person classes. And I was kind of walking back and forth of them and explaining like the technique. I want to do a similar thing only with like a green screen. So it's even more professional. It's not me in front of a projector. So I want to try and do something a little bit different with my online education. So we're always like testing new technology and obviously it is a little hard to have like everything in your home because you don't get that separation. And sometimes we've actually flown in models from LA and had them stay in the casita, which is like directly opposite the studio for filming, but you still have a model like in your house. And so you're just like, I hope she likes her hair, you know, because if something goes south, it's kind of awkward, but you know, so it's not like long-term solution, but for now it's working really great.
Yeah, well, I brought it up because I liked how you were saying that you're able to kind of separate mommy life with Ashley Norman rock star life, right? But then with the studio at home, you get some blurred lines where like your kid could walk through the door while you're doing something and you're like, oh, hey, you know, you're like,
and they do. To,
yeah, oh, they always do because they're so interested.
Oh, yeah.
But I have to tell you, it was who's the Air Touch guy? What's his name?
Vladimir Sarbashev.
Vladimir. Didn't you have him come to your studio?
Yes. Yeah. He came and stayed at my house.
Okay. So I saw that and I was like, you know what? This is so cool that some of these like super talented, inspiring artists that like travel the world, they're doing it at her house. Like it was obvious to me. I think like your daughter was in some snippet of one of them or something.
Yeah.
Or you shared like a story behind the scenes. And I was like, that is just so freaking cool because to me, that's so relatable and realistic that you're like, yeah, I have these two lives, but sometimes they have to meet in the middle. And this is just what it looks like. And I don't know. I love that we're kind of like normalizing that. Not necessarily the whole like at home salon thing, but maybe just like business and mom life kind of coming together a little bit more or less.
Oh, yeah. And so my most recent thing I did here at my house was a shoot with this celebrity fashion designer. She actually did the outfit for Beyonce's newest Texas Hold'em album. Yeah. Her name is Noel Do It. And the crazy thing is like, so my makeup artist ended up working with her on some other thing. And then she was coming to Vegas to get married and she just had a baby. And so it was really cool because, you know, two of us, two entrepreneurs, you know, she's obviously a fashion designer in the fashion world, you know, me in the hair world. And, you know, she was coming to Vegas to get married and then they wanted to do like a shoot the next day. I'm like, who does that? Gets married in Vegas and then does a photo shoot the next day. And they've got a baby in tow, me and Laurel. So we're like the same type of person. And so I'm like, hey, like they were going to try and get an Airbnb. I'm like, oh, just do it on my house. Like I have a salon built in, like we got a pool, like let's do something cool. So it was great. We found a model. We did everything in my in salon house. And then, you know, she's there holding her baby on the lap. My two kids are running through the studio. My son's like, what is this? And he wants to like try on like the metal mesh, like outfits and stuff. This girl's in a metal bikini. He doesn't care. And he's eight. He's like, you know, he's not at the point where he's into girls yet. So he's just like, oh, whatever, you know, like this is normal. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's cool because it's like, you know, I'm like, hey, like come with your baby to my house. Like, and so it's like, that's the thing is like, there's other women, mothers, like in other industries that, you know, they need that. Like for her, that was so nice to be in a space where it was like, hey, what do you need? Let me help you with the diaper. Oh, look, I have a diaper changing table you can use. You know, it's just that we were in a space where as moms, we could both create this work and have this great fun photo shoot at the same time, like we're accommodating each other's family life, you know?
Oh, that has got to feel so rewarding for you to be able to do that. Like, oh, there just needs to be so much more of that in this world, really. And like, you know, in our industry also, especially being like predominantly female based, I feel like there's like no room for, I guess, space for the babies almost. It's like, I had this dream years ago, this is before COVID, before I was doing anything online or whatever, I was like, I'm going to create a salon where there's like a childcare center. You know, and like each mom can have like a baby monitor at their station that's on silent, but they can like see their kid and they can come and experience having a nice, luxurious hair appointment and not have to worry about their children because children are such an inconvenience in the beauty industry. And I love these as an example of that being the case.
Or even a pumping room.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times like I had to go to my car in the parking lot or in the parking structure every 3 hours, put up my shades. It's like 100 degrees in Santa Cruz, California. Pump. Then I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, again, yeah, 90% working moms in the industry. And we don't even have pumping rooms. Like, what? Yeah. This is ridiculous. You know? Like,
do you share a lot of your like motherhood stories in your classes with people? Like, is that something that you tap into when you're teaching?
We talk a lot about like work-life balance, especially around social media as well and marketing, because, you know, a lot of the people that are winning are working like 80 hours a week. They're like 50 hours behind the chair and another 30 hours on social. And a lot of these people are clearly not parents. And so it's hard to keep up with them. And I don't really, you know, I do the best that I can, but a lot of times I feel like I'm not little Taurus with some of these hairs that are just running cast. And of course, like, still to this day, that people at the top are mostly males, you know, and it just comes down to their availability. And so that's kind of hard, you know. So I talk a lot about, you know, how do you schedule it in and how do you work around it? And, you know, for one, it's like, we can't really be, you know, 10 hours, 12 hours a day, 5 days a week behind the chair and do all this marketing. Like you kind of have to have a little bit of a hybrid of that, meaning like you maybe should work 3 days, 4 days, and maybe you should increase your prices and maybe you should specialize. And then you can have, you know, a high minimum hourly rate. So now I'm only going to take clients that are going to, you know, get me X amount of dollars per hour. And therefore I need to specialize in the service that can command that. And therefore I'm going to market myself around this specialization. I'm going to work less hours. I'm going to have higher prices. I'm going to be more picky about the clients that I take. And then on the days that I have off, that's the days I'm going to have spent on my social. And that's what ended up happening to me once I had my first kid. And, you know, I always say, like, I thought that kids was actually going to hold me back and actually kind of taught me the value of my time. Yeah. Because now I wasn't going to waste my time doing a discount client or a service that I wasn't really interested in doing. And the time that I had off, yeah, you know, if I'm working Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays behind the chair, I'm going to maximize those 3 days. Then I have Monday, Wednesday, Friday off. Those are the days I'm going to spend with my kid. Those are the days I'm going to go to the park. Those are the days that I'm going to, you know, go to the gym that has the nice childcare so I can actually work out, take care of myself. And then, you know, when they're doing their 2-hour nap, that's when I'm going to be replying back to clients because now I have a consultation form and I have policies that they need to sign off on before they get in my chair. They have to leave a deposit or take a credit card, right? So now I'm taking my business more seriously. And those are the same hours that I'm using to edit new social media content. And maybe I'm not posting every single day, but I give myself a post schedule. So maybe I'm going to post 3 or 4 times a week and I stick to that. Yeah. You know, so I talk about really organizing your time and not thinking about trying to be everything, all the things, right? But also thinking really smart about, wait a minute, actually, if I spend a little bit more time on the back end of my business, then when I do put myself behind the chair, those hours are now going to become more profitable. And so those are the types of things that we talk about in my classes.
That's so huge. You know, something that really resonated with me, it must have been when my daughter was like 2 years old. Because I think I had the same kind of revelation that was like, my time is valuable in other places now. It's not just valuable behind the chair, which is so silly that I didn't value my time previously to having kids. But all of a sudden I realized, if I say yes to a client, I'm saying no to my daughter. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, that's kind of hard. That kind of hurts a little bit. And so I really want to say yes to the people I want to say yes to, not everyone. And it has to be valuable enough that it's taking me away from that time with my kids.
Absolutely. Totally. That's exactly it.
So where do you see yourself going from here? Do you have like 5-year plan, 1-year plan? You still work with Schwarzkopf and K18 currently, right? What does the future look like for you, Ashley Norman?
Well, I'm definitely obviously still working with the brands. And right now I'm negotiating with Schwarzkopf to do some international education in the fall. So like a 3-country tour. We haven't finalized the dates yet, but for sure I'm going to Budapest in September and then maybe some other countries following after that. I have a meeting with the people that are handling international education with K18. They just hired someone new that came over from another company. And since they're a newer company, they haven't really done a lot of education besides obviously product knowledge. And so they might have some space for doing some actual education beyond PK. So we'll see if I end up doing some sort of international tour in the next couple of years or just, you know, a country here and there. That's one thing I'm looking into, is kind of get a little bit more exposure, just not just in the US, obviously. But my long-term goal is to have somewhere that is more of like, you know, like a Bumble and Bumble type thing where people can actually come and travel and take classes at in a physical place. And I've been saving money towards that. I probably have at least like half of what I would really need to build something really nice. But at the same time, I have to have enough demand to make it work. Meaning, like, if I'm able, I need to be able to sell enough classes in the Vegas area to make a brick and mortar profitable. And I know for most academy spaces, they're connected to another business, meaning that it's either a salon group that has advanced education or it's a product line that has advanced education. So Bumble and Bumble obviously had, you know, a chain of salons in New York, and then they started their product line, and then they got investment dollars from L'Oreal to build out their academy, and that's how they were able to do that. VS Vladimir Salbashchev, who you were just referencing, the original creator of AeroTouch, he's from Russia. And in Moscow, for him, it started with touring, like what I'm doing. You know, he started doing AeroTouch, you know, at least 10 years ago, travel and tunnel around the world, and then wanted to have something that was more grounded. And he started his salon first. And how he did that was, he said he was looking for people that were also potential great educators. So when he hired on his salon team, he wasn't just looking for great stylists. He was looking for great stylist educators. Once he built out the salon, it was a natural thing to then move into the education space. So now he has two salons at an academy in Moscow, and they're beautiful, state-of-the-art. Like, he's giving me like FaceTime tours that just make me want to cry, because it's like everything you could ever dream. That being said, it's like, how do you either A, start a product line or build out a salon group, like when you're traveling as much as I am? So, you know, for now, I'm going to continue to save for it and wait for, you know, the amount that I have financially to line up with the timeline and when I'm ready to kind of make that switch. So in the long run, I would love to have a space that was for advanced education. I almost feel like I need to have a continuing school, meaning I just started a scholarship program and I'm doing my first scholarship class next month here in Las Vegas. And basically what I did was I just went on Instagram and I said, hey, like, I'm starting my scholarship. If you guys want to apply, like, just email me why you think this would benefit you. It comes with, you know, a 2-day class, which is worth $1,200 plus the flight and hotel. So I'm paying for their travel. Plus, I'm giving them my Schwarzkopf gratis. So I'm going to give them $750 worth of Schwarzkopf products. And I decided to do free winners this time. So I'm having all three winners come out next month. And all that to say, I had like 211 emails from people in a week. I gave people a week to email me. And me and my mother-in-law spent, and then, you know, I mean, I was up till midnight. I don't stay up more than that. She stayed up to like 3 a.m. We were reading all these emails. And for me, you know, it's really important, because in order for me to have a finger on the pulse of the industry, I really need to know where people are struggling, because that's my role as an educator, is to help people out and help them with their career, right? So, you know, I got a lot of emails from moms, you know, women who took a step back to be there when their kids were really young. And now their kids are in school and they have a little bit more time and they want to have something to feel themselves again and get a little one foot outside of mommy land so they feel like a normal human being, which we all know what that feels like. I had a lot of, you know, single moms doing it on their own. I had a lot of kids coming out of school that are struggling, that can't find a great apprenticeship program because there really aren't any anymore. Most people are just coming out and going straight into a salon suite or on booth print. They don't really have any guidance, you know? And people like, you know, maybe in their 50s that, you know, maybe their kids are now having kids and they're in a good space, but at the same time, like, they're feeling a little bit out of date. Like, they're trying to figure out what's going on and stay on trend. At the same time, they want to know what's up with social media because they didn't necessarily grow up with the technology like we did, and they still want to be, they're not ready to retire. They still want to be relevant. You know, so you have these different people in their different phases of life, but essentially all kind of need a similar thing, you know, that they need, obviously, beyond beauty school, beyond the foundation. They need it to be modern. They need it to be relevant, but they need it to like be fast. It can't be like a huge, long program. So maybe at best, you know, you're going to have a 3-day class at the shortest length up to like, maybe you could have like a four-week class or something. Something that's going to get them from point A to point B in a really fast way, and it's going to be super inclusive. And what I mean by inclusive is I've done a lot of work within the last few years to find different educator, influencer, salon owners to bring onto my education team that have specializations in different areas, whether that be curly and textured hair, whether that be platinums, vivids, men's barbering. Like I have someone that's in every area, different languages. I have a lot of people who speak Spanish. So now when I go and I teach classes, for example, I just came back from Houston, Texas, and we had a lot of Spanish speaking. We had a lot of mixed race, and we were able to not only answer questions in Spanish, but also speak to all textures and types, because I have a texture specialist who's from Texas, and she's a Black woman who's been doing hair for however many years. And she also works with Farouk System Chi. She's an educator for Chi. And we were able to talk about, you know, the texture chart, the factors of texture, how we would formulate for the curl pattern, how we would change the actual technique itself if we had to compensate for the curl pattern. So it needs to have something that any person that sits in your chair, you're going to have at least some foundational knowledge to be able to service them. That way we can also desegregate our industry. We don't have to have separate salons, you know? So I think it needs to be inclusive, and it needs to be, you know, really high quality education that gets people up to speed in a short amount of time. And it's not just the basics in beauty school, and it is modern. So those are some of the things that I've been really thinking about it with when it comes to advanced education and having it all in one place where I can control the environment. I can have, you know, consistency in the experience. I can control, you know, the technology, even just audio and video and that type of thing makes a really big difference. And I've really worked hard to level that up even on the road. I make all my salons now provide me with a 42-inch TV because I don't want to bring a flip chart anymore. I want to have PowerPoints that are animated. You know, I want to have great audio video when I want to show, you know, something, whether it's, you know, introductory video at the beginning of class, it's going to get everyone inspired, or whether it's one-off videos, you ask me a very specific question and I'm able to pull up something on my Instagram to fill in, I can do that too, you know? So all of that is, it's a big dream, you know? And I think as women, we all feel selfish sometimes, mothers, I should say, like when we have dreams that are not big, because we have this like yearning inside of us to make it happen. But at the same time, we also have to go slow because our time is limited. Our kids are younger. We need to get through certain milestones to make it possible. And so you have to have a certain amount of patience and also presence, because you don't want to miss this time either.
Yeah.
You know,
sister.
So I'm in the middle of all of that. Like, and people might think like, oh, well, you're already there. Da, 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 da. It's like, yeah, but you never get to a point in your life where you're like, I made it. You know, there's always something more that you want to progress on. And if you don't want to continue learning and progressing, it's like, well, then, you know, I don't know what to say, because for me, I'm always hungry for what's not necessarily for just the success piece of it, but for the growth. You know, I'm always pushing myself. Like right now I'm pushing myself in the editorial space and trying to work more in the fashion industry again, the industry that I kind of walked away from, because it's a challenge. When you're just doing campaigns for hair, it's about the hair. When you're doing a photo shoot in the fashion industry, now it's got to be a piece of the fashion story, you know? So I want a lot, but I also want to have great relationships with my kids. I want to stay married to, you know, my high school sweetheart. And so there has to be a pace that's maintainable. Because if you don't do things at a pace that's maintainable, that's when you burn out or fall apart and your personal life suffers. And we've seen that happen to a lot of, you know, big names in our industry most recently. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how do you slow down and focus on what's important? I think that's the big thing for me.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, taking a pulse on the industry, you have to take a pulse on yourself too. And like understand what's important to you right now and where you want to be and what's realistic to get there.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm sure if anyone is going to be able to pull this off, it's probably going to be you.
Thank you.
Next year or 10 years from now, you've got drive, you've got energy, you have a vision. And I think that's probably the biggest piece of this is like understanding where you want to be and why. It's much easier to make a plan, even if it's a 10-year plan, you know?
Yep, for sure.
Well, I know you and I both have to get to go pick up our kids now, so we should wrap this up by saying thank you so much for coming on here today, Ashley. It was worth the wait on my end.
Awesome. I'm glad I finally made it happen.
I know. Well, we'll be in touch, and I'm sure I'll see you on Instagram and maybe somewhere in person, too.
That would be great. Awesome.
Bye. All right, my friend. Well, that wraps up this week's podcast episode here on the Your Hair Mentor podcast. How'd you like that? It's pretty good, right? I knew it was good. And, you know, if you like this and you feel like sharing, why don't you go ahead and send this to a friend? Especially a friend that you think would gain some insight and some motivation from this, because that is how platforms like this grow, is my listeners like you sharing and caring, right? So send a text, send an email, send a voice text, I don't know. However you want to share it, please do. It is always appreciated. And anyway, I will make sure that any and all links will be in the show notes here so you can go find more information from Ashley if you want to and connect with her. And thanks again to Ashley for coming on the show and chatting with me today. It was really lovely to have you. And as I always love to say, I hope you have a wonderful hair day, my friend, and I'll see you next time. Okay, bye.